Football on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by Boyle Sports. Now with same day withdrawals to your Visa debit card.
Okay, it's Thursday night football, so I'm delighted to welcome John Giles over the phone. John, how are you doing?
I'm good, Shane.
Yeah, the big topic this week, a lot of it revolves around players with dual Irish-English nationality, and no better place to start than Declan Rice, who was this week, he was announced as the Young Player of the Year for 2018 for Ireland, and then the next day he's tweeting about his first call-up for England. What did you make of that?
Not very good, actually, Shane.
Yeah.
I think it's who gave him the award, do you know?
Well, you see, the tweet came out, and it was the Soccer Writers Association of Ireland who voted for him. And then the tweet came out from the FAI, were saying that this award maintains the integrity of the voting process.
Well, first of all, you've got to go to the Soccer Writers Association. I mean, when did they pick it? Was it quite recently, Shane?
See, it was a couple of months ago, and Nathan Murphy, who you'd regularly speak to here on a Thursday evening, he was part of it. And at that time, they were unsure over whether Declan Rice was going to commit to Ireland or whether he wouldn't. Now, at that stage, he had refused the call-up back in September.
Yeah.
And Kevin Kilbane, of course, felt at that point that there's no way he's coming back to play for us again. Mm. But Nathan would be very steadfast in saying that, well, he was the best player, the young player for Ireland in 2018. He played three international friendlies and he was man of the match in two.
Yeah. Well, I think there's two things could happen there. I wouldn't agree with Nathan on that. To be quite honest, Shane, and I think the lad's situation as well, Declan Rice's situation, I think the sensible thing for him to do would be to say in a letter something like, I don't think it's appropriate for me to receive this award. I think that would be the best bet. I can't see it being right for Declan Rice in the position that he's in now, and he's actually been picked for the England squad, to come to Dublin and receive an award as the best young Irish player. It just doesn't make sense.
From your point of view, John, would it have made sense to contact Declan and say this award is happening, or should, once we realise that Declan Rice had declared for Ireland, to just cancel it outright?
I think it should be cancelled. I think once Declan Rice declared for England, that's the end of it. It's not going to look very good, Shane, if you know, the situation is not going to be a popular award as far as the Irish soccer public or the Irish people themselves are concerned. I mean, he played the three matches, senior matches for Ireland, as we know, and he's now picked in the England squad. So a lot of people wouldn't be happy about that, and I don't think it would be appropriate for him to receive the award. I think it was wrong from the Soccer Writers Association actually to give him the award.
And in any way, do you feel sorry for the soccer writers or the FAI that there is such a lack of options there at the moment in terms of who they can pick, that maybe they felt a little bit cornered and they couldn't just bin the awards because people might point out, well, who's the Young Player of the Year?
Well, I don't think the FAI are involved in this all that much, to be quite honest. This is the soccer writers, so they're giving the award. It's not the FAI who's giving the award. And we go back a long time on when Declan looked like that he was keeping his options open. I think at that stage, then I don't think it was appropriate to give him that award. He eventually went and qualified for England, as we know. So I think it'd look a bit ridiculous, to be quite honest, if Declan Rice is coming over now, and there'd be a lot of bad feeling towards him, in my opinion, to receive award as the best young Irish player. And he's going to play for England, and then probably play for England next week or two.
So another player that was tweeting out Shamrocks and played for Ireland underage is Jack Grealish. And of course, he has gone on to declare for England. At the weekend, he was playing for Aston Villa against Birmingham, and a fan came on the field and threw a punch at him from behind. Now, that fan was arrested afterwards and will face some conviction after that. In terms of player safety, is this an escalation of where we're going? Because even if you look at what's happening with Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang, he had a banana thrown at him at a game not so long ago for Arsenal. You see what happened with the Chelsea fans shouting in abuse just before Christmas. And even if you go back as far as Monica Seles in 1993, when a fan came in and stabbed her, is it a worrying time for a footballer now when you see that these kind of things could happen?
Well, I'm sure it is. I mean, it wouldn't be the first time that people have run onto the pitch. But they're coming on now to punch the players. They've had it in Scotland, they've had it now. And it does become a fashionable thing in a ridiculous way, Shane, that this type of thing happens. Now, what the clubs can do about it is very, very difficult to know, because it's very difficult, no matter how many stewards you have or security people, to stop people getting on the pitch now. Years ago, they put up the fences. You know where that led to. So I can't see that happening again. But it has become fashionable in a certain way for lads to be running on the pitch. And what was worrying about last week when it was a Birmingham supporter that attacked him, and when the Birmingham supporter was caught by the stewards and so on, the Birmingham crowd clapped him coming off.
Yeah.
That's serious. I mean, if they can't condemn that that type of behaviour, and especially with the knives becoming fashionable as well, it is a danger to the players. What the clubs can do about it is very difficult to know, Shane, because people get on the pitch. I can't see how the stewards can stop anyone at any particular time getting on the pitch. I mean, they have to punish the people who are on the pitch, running onto the pitch. You've got to punish them. Actually, the fellow got, I think, 14 weeks in jail, didn't he,
yep,
in Birmingham this week. And maybe it should be a bit longer for these particular things. But it is a worrying situation, and it has to be stopped.
If you look at Neil Lennon, who had a coin thrown at him recently, and maybe to some way he was taunting the crowd himself, so perhaps he has to look at himself in that situation. Like, if you were a player or a manager in that situation when you can see a fan coming for you, now obviously Jack Grealish couldn't because he was coming from behind, what do you do as a player or a manager in that situation?
If I were a player,
yeah,
I would certainly defend myself. In a big way, as much as I could. I'm only a small fella. I wouldn't be too good at defending, but I would definitely have a go. You can't let anybody come up and strike you, Shane. I mean, if that was in the street, you wouldn't let it happen. It doesn't matter whether it's on a football pitch or not. I mean, it's not the player that's starting the fight. It's somebody coming on a pitch, and you don't know what they're going to do to you. Of course you'd have to react. As it happened with young Grealish, he had his back to the fella, which is even more cowardly at the weekend. But you'd have to defend yourself. I mean, if somebody came to you in the street and come and have a punch at you, I'm sure you'd have a go back, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I think you certainly would.
Yeah, well, it wouldn't be any different on the pitch then. I mean, once a fella runs on the pitch, he's in a position, in a situation he shouldn't be in. He's a supporter, and it's obviously, it's not one of your own supporters that's doing it. Although I probably had some guys where one of my own supporters wanted to give me a punch in the face. But generally, you know, it's wrong, and it becomes fashionable. That's the point with these guys. You know, they get their 2 minutes of fame, or less than 2 minutes of fame. You see it in Scotland. You see it here. You know, it happens. It becomes a fashionable thing, which is stupid. Now, if it leads to knives, which I've never seen that before, it's usually for fellas wanting to get on the television, not to actually really hurt the players. So hopefully we don't see that situation. But to stop it, I wouldn't be able to tell you how I would be able to stop it, Shane, to be honest.
How worrying is the tribalistic nature of fans in football? You know, you're talking about the fans actually cheering this guy. He's been led off the field. Both when you were a player and a manager, could you understand the mentality of some fans when they behave in a very erratic sort of way?
Well, there wasn't much of fans running on the pitch in my time. There were somebody be running on with no clothes on and all that, carry on,
yeah,
but not to attack the players. You know, I don't ever remember being involved in a match where a fan came on to really attack the player. That's a new phenomenon now. If it is a phenomenon, Shane, you know, that's what we've got to be careful about and plan and try and plan as best we can. I'm talking about the Football Association, everybody else, that there's nothing serious going to happen. And I'd say now, too, that the players would be aware of it to try and protect themselves if anything serious does happen. You know, Grealish had his back to the... But in the pitch, you've got to have your back to one part of the ground, whatever it may be. But it has become fashionable, it has to be stopped, and that the people who do it have to be penalised very, very severely.
Okay, and then one final question about a player who's got dual nationality would be Patrick Bamford. He had a couple of assists against Reading there during the week. He's in good goal scoring form. Paul Dickhoff said about him the other day that he's come in and after being lost for a while, he seems to have got that hunger back. Now, maybe that's to do with getting fit and not having so many injuries, but he of course said in January 2017, "I'd love to be called up for England. That's the pinnacle of someone's career, to play for the national team." So he did say there was a tug both ways from his family to play for either side, but would you be happy for him to come into Ireland?
I would. This was a lad who was a very, very promising player, Shane, as we know, a few years ago, and seemed to lose his way somewhere along the line. But he scored in goals again then. He always looked a good player to me. I would definitely get him. I would definitely get him in. Yeah, I would cap anybody that qualifies for us and is willing to play for us. Because, you know, we've had if you look at the record of the players that we've had play for us, Shane, in the past, you know, whether it's Townsend, Ray Houghton, Cascarino, Mick McCarthy, all these terrific players, they gave great service to us as footballers. And I think any of them that came in Mike and my time, it was like Steve, we grabbed Steve Highway, for example, who was, you know, did his stuff for us. He was a quiet lad off the pitch. He didn't mix with the lads all that much, but he did his stuff. And if Bamford and anybody else can improve the team, then I would go for them definitely straight away. You know, we're not asking them to fight in the army. We're asking them to play for the international team. And the way things have gone in the international scene nowadays with teams, there's players now who can qualify for three different countries. So we should definitely take advantage, like all the other countries are taking advantage of the availability and of the players that can come to us.
Okay,
if you asked me the question, the simple answer was definitely, if I thought we could do well for us and be a help, I would go for him, yes.
Okay, great stuff, John. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be back with more from John Giles.
Football on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by Boyle Sports. Now with same day withdrawals to your Visa debit card.
Okay, it's Thursday Night Football and we're back with John Giles. John, just to talk about the Champions League, it's the first time in 10 years that four Premier League teams have made it to the quarterfinals. So you're talking Liverpool, Man United, Tottenham and Man City in there with Barcelona, Juventus, Porto and Ajax. Is it a sign of the times and the strength of the English teams now that we're seeing four of them back into the quarterfinals?
I think it definitely is, Shane, because every 4 years you have a World Cup, and that's a guide to where the countries are. I think in the Champions League, it's an annual situation where we're looking at where are the teams at, and it only tells by how many teams qualify for any particular league. And like England, the Premiership here has qualified four at this particular stage, which is, as you said, the first time for 6 years. So I think it does show the strength of the Premiership teams that they've qualified in the way that they have.
Mm. And seven of the past 10 finalists have been Spanish, and all of the last five have been won by Real Madrid four times and Barcelona once as well. So Liverpool went to Bayern Munich and won 3-1 during the week to secure their passage. Man City absolutely destroyed Schalke with a 7-0 win. Man City are Champions League favourites with the bookies now. Do you agree with that?
I wouldn't make them any bigger favourites than Liverpool, Shane.
Really?
Yeah, I think Liverpool has good a chance. I mean, they had a much more difficult task to get through. Schalke were a very, very poor team. Very poor team. I know it was they won, City only won by a goal in Germany. But I watched the match on the night, and it should have been, were down to 10 men. They were a goal down. There was a penalty against them. But I thought Schalke were very, very poor. And Manchester City proved that the other day. And I think German football is not strong. I mean, the English teams have beaten them. And Liverpool well deserved to win last night. They played well. And, you know, the Bayern Munich are not anywhere near the famous teams that they've had in the past. And Liverpool won well. So I would put Liverpool on a par as favourites for the Champions League.
Jurgen Klopp has been asked time and time again, are they better off being knocked out of other competitions so that they can focus on the league, for example? Do you think Man City have the squad that they can compete on four fronts?
I think they've got a bigger squad than Liverpool, Shane. Mm. Now, I'm only an outsider. In my experience, I would have thought it was a blessing in disguise for Liverpool to be knocked out. Now, obviously, as players, and I know Klopp is fed up listening to this particular thing, giving an answer to it. Of course they've got to go for it. And I only go on my own experience, like my 10, 11 years at least when we were in European competitions. It's no coincidence that the only time when we were in for a lot of competitions, the only time we actually won the, what was now the Premiership, was 2 years when we were knocked out of everything at Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
Because it does take on, you know, travelling, the extra matches, the injury situation. Of course, the more matches you play, the more injuries you're likely to get. And I'm only talking about winning the Premiership. Of course, Liverpool have got to go for it, and they went for it last night. They might go on to win the double, we don't know. But I think if you were concentrating on the Premiership, you would have a better chance of winning the Premiership. But Liverpool do have to go for it, as we know. And they certainly won well last night and played well.
Yeah, because Man City, even with Kevin De Bruyne out injured, other players are stepping up. Bernardo Silva has had a very good season. In the Champions League, Sergio Aguero is averaging a goal every 70 minutes. So 5 goals in 5 games, he hasn't played the full game in all of them. Raheem Sterling, he scored a hat-trick against Watford at the weekend, although the first one was certainly offside. I'm not sure why that was given. And then got a goal against Schalke during the week. So he's on fire as well. So they've guys who are scoring from all angles.
Yeah, well, so are Liverpool. You know, Liverpool won't score as many goals as Manchester City, but they'd be more likely to be safer at the back, Shane.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, say City might win a match 6-0. Liverpool could win it 3-0, but I think Liverpool are more likely to be more consistent than Manchester City. That's my feel on it anyway at the moment, but... For City have a bigger squad. I think they're able to take on these particular competitions, but they're likely to get more injuries as well. You know, it's not going to be easy for City to do it. They need a really big squad and a lot of luck with injuries to do all of that. Whereas Liverpool, well, they've only got 2 competitions to go at, but it'll be a close run thing, I think, for City and Liverpool in both competitions.
And as you mentioned, Liverpool there as well, Sadio Mane has been a star player in recent games. His goal early on in the game, probably a 70-yard ball from Virgil van Dijk, takes a touch over his shoulder, swivels and dinks it over a couple of the defenders. What did you make of that goal? It was an incredible piece of skill.
Well, I think he did brilliantly to do it. But he was helped a great deal by Neuer, the German goal. Neuer made a dreadful mistake to get in the position he was in. I think Neuer assumed, now I'm only giving you my take on it, Shane. I think Neuer assumed that Mane would not control the ball as well as he did because there was no point in him being out there. And I think as a defender, and he's a goalkeeper, who's obviously a defender, you should think of the worst, you know, not the best. But what he should have thought about was this fella is going to control it. Where he was thinking, no, he's not going to control it. And left himself then exposed for Mane to do what he did, which he did brilliantly well. But Neuer made a dreadful mistake to get out in that position at that particular time.
Mm. And just to move on to Cristiano Ronaldo, because he scored a hat-trick on Tuesday against Atletico Madrid to turn around a 2-goal deficit. He has 124 goals in the Champions League right now. He's looking to win a 6th Champions League title, which would draw him level with Francisco Gento, who won 6 with Real Madrid as well. Messi has won 4. So what does this say about Ronaldo?
Well, I think what it says about Ronaldo and Messi and the other player you mentioned, these are great players, Shane. They do what's needed to be done at any particular time. Don't forget, Messi went on to score 2 goals himself last night, but I think it's very, very significant for Ronaldo to do what he did. You know, that's what he was bought to do, and he did it brilliantly. I mean, the 2 headers that he scored yesterday, it could well be the difference between Juventus winning this particular competition or being runners-up like they were a couple of times in the last few years. That's how important he is, and it's okay for players scoring a hat-trick when you're winning 6-0, and it's not important. This was a really, really important game, 2 down, and to do what he did was terrific. And he hasn't lost any of his sharpness, but definitely could be the difference between Juventus winning this particular competition, not like previous years when they finished runners-up. That's how important he is and how good he is.
And maybe from your own experience you can speak on this. He's after turning 34 years of age, and if you look at the amount of minutes he's played as many league minutes this season with 11 games to go as he did in 2017-18 for Real Madrid. Now, as you got older, did you find it more difficult to keep playing games week on week? And do you think it's quite incredible that he's doing this, considering he's now 34?
Well, no, I didn't. I didn't find it difficult, Shane, because I think the longer you go on, I always found in football you should learn from every match, right? So the longer you play, the more you're going to learn. So you learn, like I was a midfield player, so I learned in most of my games I played, I wasn't going to waste a step, you know?
Yeah.
In other words, I wasn't going to be running, like when I was younger, I'd be running in a position that wasn't good, I'd be using up the energy. Like with experience, you know exactly where you have to go, so you can save that energy and not running stupidly and making stupid runs. So you learn as you go along, and I think there's no doubt that Ronaldo has kept himself very, very... Obviously, you've got to keep yourself well to do it. And you can tell by looking at him that he's kept himself very well and very, very fit. So there's no reason that in the position that he plays and the experience he's got and the positional sense to get in. And his bravery, actually, his bravery the other night for heading the ball was something that he has in his locker. And he's a big fella as well. So he's got a lot of goals in his head. But I think, you know, if he keeps himself well, keep away from injury. That's the big thing. But there's no reason that he shouldn't go on for the next 2 to 3 years.
If you had had a chance, is Ronaldo the sort of player that you would have loved to have played with? You know, you supplying balls from him from midfield, or are there other players that spring to mind that you would have loved to have played with?
Well, if I had a preference, I would go with Messi.
And why is that?
Well, I think Messi is more of a team player than Ronaldo is. You know, I've changed my mind a lot about Ronaldo because of what he does. I used to feel earlier on in his career, watching him, he didn't do enough, he didn't work hard enough. But that was, he made that part an asset rather than a bad thing in the way that he played and the goals that he scored. I think Messi is more inclined to be a team player, to be involved in the game. That's only my personal preference. I'd love to play with either of them, actually, Shane, to be quite honest. They're both great players in different ways.
So just a final question then, relating to the FA Cup this weekend. So with Watford, Crystal Palace, Swansea, who are 15th in the Championship against Man City, Wolves against Man United, and there's plenty of Irish interest in Millwall against Brighton. So Aidan O'Brien and Sean Williams will probably line out for the Millwall starting team, whereas Chris Hughton will be managing Brighton, where Shane Duffy will also be playing. How impressive would it be for Chris Hughton to take Brighton all the way to an FA Cup semi-final?
It'd be great. I'd love him to do it, Shane. He's a terrific lad. You know, I knew him as a player, and he's a very humble. Does a great job. Actually, a great job at Brighton, there's no doubt. And he's just a very, very good lad. He has done a really, really good job. And if I had a preference of all the managers to go and do it, I would pick Chris.
What sort of temperament does he have? Is he the sort of manager? He seems very cool when he's doing interviews. Is he the sort of guy in the dressing room who's very cool, or could he explode on you too if he needed to?
No, I never seen him exploding, and I only had an experience of him as a player. I never had an experience of him as a manager. But Chris was a very, very steady lad. He's a very intelligent lad. And he always had a great temperament. And he was a very successful player, Shane, as you know, like playing mm-hmm. for Spurs. And he was a terrific player. But he was one of those guys that got on with the job, didn't lose his head, and he's taken that into his management, his managerial career. And I think anybody that knows Chris would want him to do well. And I certainly would anyway.
And just a final question then about Man United. Lost to Arsenal 2-0 at the weekend, probably wasted some chances, could have got something from that game. Away to Wolves this weekend, who've had some great results against the likes of Chelsea and Spurs this season, so they're well able to take on the top teams. Do you see United going to Molineux and getting the win?
Well, I wouldn't be surprised if they won, but Wolves are good. You know, they won't be an easy game for them, not by any means. They slipped up into Arsenal. They didn't play well against Arsenal last week. Did miss a few chances, but I thought Arsenal deserved to beat them. Actually, Shane, I was much a bit of a reaction from the match during the week where they had the great results in Paris Saint-Germain. But they didn't play well at the weekend, and Arsenal picked it up, and that's what you get, you know. But Wolves are capable of beating them, but I'd still fancy Manchester United to win.
Brilliant stuff, John. We'll chat to you again next week.
Thanks, Shane.
Football on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by Boyle Sports. Now with same-day withdrawals to your Visa debit card.